This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news. We're talking about Columbus Day, a barbaric holiday where we celebrate genocide, well, some people do, and the rise of the slave trade. But it looks like there'll be a counter demonstration this year. We've got Regina Moran and Madison Eagle in the studio. Welcome to the other side of the news.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Bob.
Okay, so what's going on and when is this on or about Columbus Day, Madison?
So we'll be holding a rally at City Hall on October 12th. That's not this Monday, but the Monday after, 5 o'clock. And we'll be marching to OSU for a candlelight vigil.
All right. And Regina, why did you get involved with this?
Well, Madison's a good friend. And
and a little family history. Your father was active for many years in the Native American movement.
Yes, and so activism is in my blood. Just getting involved with it because it's ridiculous that we're still celebrating a holiday that, you know, shows a ripple effect of genocide, and we shouldn't be celebrating this. We should be celebrating Indigenous people and our resilience of still being here, acknowledging that we're still alive and well.
So do both of you have Indigenous backgrounds?
Yes. So on my father's side, I am Shawnee and Cherokee.
And on my father's side, we are Abenaki.
Uh-huh. And what do you want to do? Why are you going to Columbus City Hall?
Well, there is a Columbus statue there, so we really...
We want it down.
Want it down. Take down the statue.
All right. Much in the same way, they tore down the statues of Hitler and Stalin. You choose to celebrate certain people, and it's a reflection of your values. And what would you tell the people of Columbus? Should we also rename the city? That was a campaign a few years back.
Yes, we should. Completely. I hate living in a city that is named after somebody who deliberately murdered, raped, pillaged my people.
And I like Columbus. I've lived here my whole life, and she moved here, so... We're proud of our city, so it'd be nice to have a name that was opposite of how we feel.
Yeah, I think I once suggested Irwin, Ohio, because I was friends with Kenny Irwin.
I'm all for that name.
That's fine.
Kenny Irwin, Ohio.
It sounds like Irwin, sounds like it belongs in Ohio.
It does.
Yes. Yes. So you also brought a report into the studio.
Yes.
What does the report say?
So the Lakota People's Law Project put out this report this year. They conducted research on Native Americans who are murdered by police law enforcement. And they found that Native Americans are the number one identity to be killed by law enforcement. So this movement is also, this rally on Columbus Day is also in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, supporting Native Lives Matter. We just want to bring light to that as well.
Did those findings surprise you, Regina?
Yes and no. I would say what surprised me is that it was the highest, and yet nobody knows that, not even myself. In the report, they do talk about that Natives have always been invisible in this country. I mean, clearly, we're still celebrating a holiday that is, you know, worship someone who created genocide in our country. And also, you know, this is, you know, we're the number one, sorry, I'm losing my train of thought.
We're the number one identity that's murdered by police, but nobody talks about this. Right. We just want to have a voice in the community.
Do you see any tie-in? Native Americans in Ohio have long protested against Chief Yahoo, the mascot, as you know, of the Cleveland Indians. And the argument goes is that, you know, it's a caricature of a drunken, extremely red-skinned man that fits some a white fantasy and has very little to do with Native American reality. So I was just thinking, I mean, you don't have any, I mean, if you had a team and called it the Cleveland Kikes and had a big nose, or, right, the Cleveland Sambos. I mean, there used to be a restaurant named Sambos, and people forced them to change its name because everyone knew it was a racist icon. But it seems like Native Americans, you can still have the Redskins, you can still have Chief Yahoo. How do you respond to something like that? Is that part of being invisible?
That is definitely part of being invisible. I actually went to high school with a school that had a Native American mascot, so I was always the one protesting because it was an all-white school pretty much, and these kids would dress up in fake Native clothing. They would put on the headdresses. They would wear war paint and run around war hooping and playing drums and stuff, so I'm very anti-mascot. We're not your mascot. Follow that hashtag if you want.
And what we hear a lot is that the argument for it is that it's honoring us, and there's no honor in...
Right, we're making you look like a drunken, smiling, happy Indian, and we
and we should
your
be
face
proud, and we should be
red.
Happy for that, right? We should be thankful that that's what people are... That's how we're getting recognized, and there's a lot of other ways to honor us and to be, you know...
Respectful.
Exactly, and so Chief Wahoo is a definite... No, and it's really frustrating when people tell me that I'm not allowed to be offended by it, that that is what should represent me and my culture that's still alive and well now.
Okay, so the only group in the U.S. that had almost complete genocide isn't allowed to define itself. Does that surprise you, Madison, that people would want to define who you are as a Native American?
I think historically Native Americans have been idolized to some degree in the Hollywood sense. So we see all these Westerns with cowboys versus Indians, and we want to dress up and play cowboys versus Indians and, you know, pretend we live in teepees and get a bow and arrow and stuff like that. And people don't really realize that we are still here today. We're still here. We're still fighting to be alive. And they don't realize all these issues that we haven't dealt with as a country, honestly.
Any thoughts on that, Regina?
Well, I know one thing that, like how Maddie just mentioned, being idolized. If any time that you get into environmental issues, or if you care for the environment, or you want to do something that's better, like you're called a hippie, and it's like, no, I'm not a hippie, I'm Native. Like, our people have been doing this for a while. We are stewards of the land, but that's been idolized. Like, oh, you know, Natives, they were so, you know, they did this and they were so peaceful, and everything is past tense. And I'm like, no, we are still here and we still do this. Yet, you know, you think. They idolize the thought of us in the past.
And again, so you're suggesting they might want to borrow some of your values in the present instead of looking to the past. One of the quotes that used to come about every year, and I used it in a few speeches down at the Santa Maria when we would protest, was, to paraphrase George Orwell, who wrote 1984, Orwell said, "He who controls the present controls the past, and he who controls the past controls the future." Mm-hmm. That a lot of this defining of Columbus as a hero worthy of a large city, a capital city, or statues and community colleges is really about power relationships. And maybe not coming to grips with the fact that, you know, not only did we complete genocide, but we broke, you know, hundreds and hundreds of treaties and ripped off and stole a lot of Native American land. Any way to have people deal with those questions?
I don't know if I can make anybody deal with it as much as I want to. People
but
just
part
are
of
in
demonstrating,
denial.
Right, is to, you're going public, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. People need to know about these things.
Because I think some people just, they just don't think about it, or they think briefly about it, like, oh, I guess that is kind of, I guess that happened, and then just move on, where we idle no more.
Because you got 35-40% of the population that doesn't even want Columbus Day to be a holiday.
Right.
It seems like slowly the consciousness is shifting. But what do you say to the ones that say, well, I wasn't here. Why should it, you know, why should it be my problem? Why should we still be protesting?
A lot of people like to think we live in a post-racial society. Obama's president, so we're past racism and discrimination.
Yet we still have statues. It's still Columbus Day. It is not over.
Yeah, this is something that we battle every single day. I can't walk down the street and not see somebody with a Redskins bumper sticker or Chief Wahoo on their baseball hat. I actually walk to work every day right past City Hall, and I get to look at Columbus standing there in all his glory. So I don't think people realize how exhausting it is to walk in this world and have all these oppressive images around us as Native people.
Mm-hmm. And Regina, when you see the Columbus statues, what do you think?
I mean, it just reminds me a lot of what's happened in even my own family with, you know, for me, we don't need to go too far into it, but for Abenakis and, like, in our family, it was eugenics, like forced abortions and forced castrations is what happened to my family and assimilation. So seeing Columbus is just a reminder of that what happened to my family and why it's broken up and why some of my family doesn't even identify as Native because of the ripple effect that happened when he came.
Well, yeah, there definitely was an attempt to eradicate the culture. I remember hearing a talk by Chris Interpreter a decade or so ago, and he went through the whole history of the boarding school, right? Native Americans being wards, essentially the equivalent of an orphan, up until 1924 or so. Didn't even have the right to vote, and still on reservations. Right. The Bureau of Indian Affairs has tremendous power, and any time Native Americans have challenged the status quo, as American Indian movement did in the 60s and 70s, the government has been incredibly suppressive. And is that Lakota report a continuation, you think, of the genocide, of documented government repression?
Genocide is not in the past, it is ongoing. Police brutality is a systemic issue conducted by the government, profiling people of color and killing them based on archaic ideas and implicit bias.
So in numerous reports of vote tampering on reservations in presidential elections, in the 04 election in particular, the loss of like 40,000 Native votes that simply weren't being recorded, and ongoing battles, of course, over Peabody coal and various parts of the countries. So when you see rebelization of mountains and what the people in the large corporations did that took over Native lands, what's your response to that?
I mean, any destruction to land that's, you know, just especially for just, like, looks. So, you know, when they put faces in the side of mountains, like, that's just for looks. That's ridiculous. And, you know, raping the land for, you know, money that's not actually benefiting people. Because obviously we all have to use the land at some point. We need to eat. But, you know, to be taking up mass amounts of lands for money, and it's just, I mean, it's heartbreaking.
The best example I can think of is the Keystone XL pipeline trying to go through sovereign Indian land.
And Native Americans have been very active trying to block that, have they not?
Yes. They have, but that's also not been... When you see activism with environmental issues, I've hardly ever seen in mainstream media, you know, Native American reservations, but, you know, it's very active.
As I recall, is that the Ogallala Aquifer that is essentially under siege and could be polluted, which is a major, major water source in the West and particularly for reservations?
And then even when the EPA recently went into the mine that, you know, in the Colorado River, that affected the Navajo Nation tremendously, and I did not hear about that in mainstream media, but the EPA went and brought water to them, and then when they, like, you know, and they poured out the water, and there was oil all in this water, but that was nowhere in, you know, there was nowhere in the mainstream media that I saw that.
You listen to WCRS, your community radio, the other side of the news. I've got Madison Eagle and Regina Moran in the studio talking about an upcoming demonstration. Regina, when's that demonstration and where at?
October 12th, 5 p.m. at City Hall, Columbus, Ohio.
October 12th, 5 p.m., right before the City Council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And are there any demands? Are you what are you asking the city to do?
We want the city to formally recognize Indigenous Peoples Day. I think mostly on, like, parking meters is where I see Columbus Day advertised a lot. But we want the statues of Columbus taken down, and we want the name of the city changed.
Okay. Maybe we can have a Name the City contest. Oh. Free Press would sponsor that. Little ballot. Write in what you want.
That would be great.
So what would you, have you thought of some names?
I haven't thought that far, but I do like, I mean, because, you know, everyone always see the C-Bus. I know it's still a form from Columbus, but a lot of people have adapted, like, C-Bus, and I think that would be a nice little change.
Just calling it C-Bus.
Yeah.
C-Bus.
I like that.
Okay, so a couple things for C-Bus. What about the Olentangy?
Olentangy?
Yeah. Good point. I think, wasn't that originally bright and shiny?
I think
a native tongue, that's what. Okay, we messed up a little. Should have let the white people take the land. They wrecked everything. Okay, so we're out on the bright and shiny. because sometimes students will say, well, you know, Native Americans, there wasn't any progress. And I always like to tell my students, yeah, it was a hellhole. Squirrel could go across the entire state on the tops of hardwood trees. There was no carcinogenics in the damn water. There was no blacktop. I mean, people fed themselves, were sustainable. Mm-hmm. The waters all could be, drank from, and you could swim in them. It was a hellhole. So, I mean, just this very narrative, right, this narrative of somehow Native Americans stood in the way of progress when you got all these people now trying to buy at farmers markets with grass-fed chickens, right? All of these practices we associate with the Native Americans, or in a few cases the Amish. I mean, now they're embracing them all, and that's the way.
Yeah, should have just listened in the first place.
Where does the, is there a movement? Are you guys officially, a group of two? Is this the beginning of a new movement for Native American rights?
Well, I think what we've seen, especially like with our generation, a lot of things is social media based. And so I would say our movement is with Native Lives Matter and with Idle No More. Those are hashtags, and but they have so much more behind them.
So I created the Facebook event through an organization, a group called Idle No More Columbus, which was in part started by my friend Jordan, who's at Kent State right now. We did a flash mob about 2 years ago at Easton in support of Idle No More, which was started in Canada in support of the missing and murdered Indigenous women, First Nations women, trying to find them, trying to bring them home, trying to get acknowledgement for these women who have been killed.
What was behind that story? I mean, what was happening to Native women?
What's still happening?
Disappearing?
Yeah, women, Native American women are just a target, really. We're 2.5 times more likely to be sexually assaulted than the national average. We're exotified by models wearing headdresses, and I think that it shows in the report.
All right. So, again, the date of the rally?
October 12th.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
City Hall.
And then a candlelight vigil to honor all that have died through genocide.
At OSU. Yeah.
Okay, and what time is that?
Seven. Is when it starts.
Is there any marching involved?
Yeah, we will be marching from City Hall to OSU. There's one other event happening that day. At noon, we will be having a die-in at Columbus State, at the Columbus State statue.
All right. I remember one year we put a sign on his finger saying, "Stop me before I commit genocide again." I'm a racist, genocidal murderer.
That statue's awful. He's pointing west. That's ridiculous.
I don't think I've actually seen it.
Yeah, that's a huge statue. Originally, it came, he was in a boat, and they took the statue out of the boat. Some city in Indiana didn't want it anymore.
Oh, great.
It's too embarrassing for Indiana.
Thanks, guys.
Ship it to Columbus. But the good news is, a few years back, some Russian sculpture built a massively large statue, similar to the Statue of Liberty of Columbus, and tried to give it to Columbus. And luckily, the city officials declined. He wanted to put it on the banks of the Olentangy, this kind of Statue of Liberty size version of Columbus.
We have enough statues, I think.
Oh, yeah, well, that's it. That's horrible.
Well, we said it'd be great because we could just kind of lasso it and pull it down and make really great video.
Yeah. I bet it'll make a nice sound when it comes crashing down.
Yeah, like a new little... place to fish off of in the river. All right. What else would you like to tell the listeners here on the other side of the news?
Come out. We want your support. Yeah. We want solidarity.
Yeah. This is for all people of color, all marginalized groups. We all matter. It's true. All lives do matter. But we're talking about the ones who are targets of violence and systemic racism.
So what is your relationship if there's any, between you and Black Lives Matter?
We have both been supporters of the local grassroots Black Lives Matter movement. We've marched together with them. We've gone to their sit-ins and all of that stuff. Rashida Davison is a supporter of this event, and I really look up to them and their efforts concerning Black Lives Matter and Black Trans Lives Matter. So they're really my inspiration for trying to do this.
Okay, so is there a natural solidarity between Black Lives Matter and Native Lives Matter?
I think so, definitely. We share a very similar history that a lot of people don't
realize. We're still sharing.
Still sharing that history. Yeah. Still sharing very similar struggles. In all the reports about police brutality, it's African Americans and it's Native Americans that are targets.
And often then followed by Latinos and Latinas and many who have Native blood in them.
Indigenous
blood from Central America.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And this also is important to recognize LGBTQ. Queer people of color, they are also targets for implicit bias and police brutality as well.
So this is a much broader, inclusive movement than just simply a sort of cultural nationalism on behalf of Native Americans?
Completely. I think we're all in this struggle together, and if we don't stand together, then we won't make any progress at all.
All right. Looking back on the movement here in Columbus, there was a large period of activity really around 1992, right? The 500th year encounter. Mm-hmm. We had Ameriflora. We spent $120 million on a international flower show, which Native Americans wondered why we would do that. But really, the last 2-3 years, the Native American community seems to have gone quiet. Why did you two decide that you could resurrect it now?
Well, I think both of us are just very strong-minded, strong-willed women. And, you know, I kind of had this thing where I wished that you know, natives would be focused on more, and because I don't hear enough about it. And then, you know, Maddie just took this over and just, you know, and it's one of those things that you have to do it for yourself. So no one else was working on it right now, so we want to.
If we don't do it now, when are we going to do it? Mm-hmm. And if it's not us, then who is it going to be? Mm-hmm. So I just decided I'm tired of sitting around and doing nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do something this year. I'm going to make a stand. And I want everybody to stand there with me.
Now, in your lives, have you always had strong Native American identities?
Most of it, and then I hit around high school, and that's when I kind of, because I'm also white, and I pass as white, well, if you can see, and so I got a lot of backlash from people just putting out their opinion and saying that I'm just doing this to be cool. And but growing up, you know, my dad really did teach a lot of, you know, spiritual things and just, you know, a lot of like knowing, like, what different native
burning
plants
sweet
do.
Grass and,
yeah, you know, all the time. And
little smudging ceremonies.
Yeah. And so, you know, it wasn't until I got back in, when I got into college and then joined American Indian Council at OSU, where that's when I really started to pick it back up and become proud again of who I am. And
I think
what about
me,
you?
Me and Regina have very similar stories and similar identities. Not to say that our tribes are exactly the same, but I have always, from the time I was little, knew who I was, and I was always very active in my community, in my small town of Lebanon, Ohio.
That does not seem like a hotbed of liberalism.
It is not.
Lebanon, Ohio.
It is the opposite of liberal. It is very conservative. And
isn't there some prisons down there?
There are a few prisons down there, yes. But I was always very strong-minded, and I had my opinions, especially about mascots, since my school had a warrior chief.
And would
as
you go to that famous restaurant in Lebanon? I think it's Greek-owned.
The Golden Lamb?
Yes, solidarity with the Greeks in Lebanon.
I don't think so. Nope.
Trying to think, what do I know Lebanon for? They got a really good Greek restaurant.
That's Republicans and the Golden Lamb, that's what we're known for.
All right. So, October 12th, on Monday at 5 p.m., you want people to gather at City Hall.
Yes.
Should they have signs?
Please.
Yes, please bring signs, bring your support, and bring an open mind.
And then after the protest there, are you signing up to speak before City Council?
We have not got that far, but okay. Maybe.
Maybe. They may be speaking before City Council the last 2 minutes here, and then you'll be marching up to
OSU,
the Ohio State University, to cheer on the Buckeyes?
No.
No. What will you be doing up at OSU?
We'll be meeting at the Browning Amphitheater for a candlelight vigil, just in memory of all those who have been lost throughout our history.
Okay, and is there any way they can get a hold of you? Do you got a website? Do you have Facebook in? What's going on?
We have an email address. It's nlmcbus@gmail.com, and you can email me, and I'll get back to you.
One more time with that email.
nlmcbus@gmail.com.
So, no Facebook page yet?
There's the I Don't Know More Columbus Facebook page that you can join. It's a group. And then there's the event page, which is the Anti-Columbus Day, Anti-Colonialism Rally. You can look for that.
All right, so come out on October 12th at 5 p.m. and help us tear down, the Columbus statue. I mean, help us honor Indigenous Peoples Day and Week. Thanks, Regina.
Thank you.
Thanks, Madison.
Thanks, Bob.
Bob Fitrake is bringing you the other side of the news.